so good. It's so good. You know, we usually, you guys can have a seat if y'all are ready. Y'all are good. So we usually have the women come. My name is Jordan. I went through Teen Challenge in 2017. You guys are amongst friends and family. If you have been through the Teen Challenge program, raise your hand. People in the church. Well, what? Y'all are amongst friends and family today. Amen, amen. Man, we love you guys. I know I actually gave my testimony here when I was in the program. And man, for those of you who are giving your testimony, you know, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by... Come on, Teen Challenge. Come on, guys. So, man, when you guys come, we've always had the women, but the dudes sing. Y'all, like, rock the house down. It is so good. I'm telling you, when the guys come and do ministries, it just, y'all just bring a different vibe with you guys. It's just awesome. We're just thankful for this ministry, and I'm just thankful for everybody that showed up today. When these guys get up here, they're being very vulnerable with us. They're getting up here, and they're exposing, you know, who they've been, but who you are now is so much more important. And I'm telling you, whenever you cross that finish line, whenever you do your internship and graduate, your lives will never be the same. But take these days and just take it in, man, because it just goes by so fast. Unless you're an induction, then it's a little bit longer, you know. But y'all are all in Dodson, so we're good. But I'm going to turn it over, Brother Jeremy, or y'all just going to go into it? All right. And give a, he just graduated not that long ago, so give a clap for him, man.
Knowing that I was coming amongst friends and people who knew a little bit about Teen Challenge, I got a little more prepared and wanted to share a little bit, share a little bit of the history with you about our ministry. Teen Challenge was started in Brooklyn in 1958 by Reverend David Wilkerson. Wilkerson was a young country preacher, and one February afternoon he read an article in Life about some teens that had were on trial for murder during a gang fight in Manhattan, and these teens had beaten a young man to death. Troubled and sensing that God was wanting him to do something for the teens, Wilkerson made a trip from his hometown in Pennsylvania to the urban area of New York City. Sometime after this, Reverend Wilkerson resigned his church in Pennsylvania and moved to New York City to work full-time with the teenage gang members. This new work was eventually called Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge began to also offer help to those addicted to drugs and alcohol. There are now over 178 Teen Challenge programs in the United States. And another 150 in other countries around the world. A study completed by the National Institute of Drug Abuse claimed an 86% success rate 7 years after graduation. Other studies have been completed since that time that confirm those findings. Today, Adult and Teen Challenge has grown into one of the largest and most successful programs of its kind in the world. There is no required monthly cost to the students, although a few of our students' families are able to contribute. We greatly rely on the help of concerned individuals, churches, businesses, and civic organizations. Louisiana Adult and Teen Challenge has helped in my life and then the life of these young men that you will hear from today. Make no mistake, we owe all the glory to God and praise to God for the change in our lives. But Teen Challenge is the vessel by which God has helped a lot of us find and reconnect with him. Thank you for having us today. I just want to open up with prayer. Father, I just want to thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to come, share about our weaknesses, so that you may be glorified. Father, I just thank you for what you've done in my life, what you're doing in the lives of the young men here. Lord, and in the body of this Christ, Father, we just thank you for them being opening, allowing us to come in, Lord. And I just pray that everything that we do be in order and lift up your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you very much. Good morning, church. Before I get started, I just have to tell you, my mom made it today. It's a very pivotal point, man. Her life is a testimony. If it wouldn't be for her, I wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't her love for Jesus, I wouldn't have this love inside of me. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. I love you. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Jock Robertson. I'm 37 years old. I'm from Gina, Louisiana. At a very young age, I was exposed to domestic violence. My father was a hard-working man and also an alcoholic. Sometimes he would lose his temper during a fight with my mother, which ended in physical abuse. There were also times in my youth when my father lashed out at me and whipped me a lot harder than he should have. Actually, the last time he ever whipped me, it was so bad that he swore he would never whip me again, and he never did. My father grew up being abused by his father. Not knowing this, I didn't understand why he drank so much or why he stayed so angry. All that I knew was that because of this, I felt rejected and unloved. My parents divorced when I was 9. My mother gained custody of me and my 2 sisters. My mother soon became completely swallowed by depression and alcoholism herself, so much so that a lot of the time I was left raising my little sisters. I was about 12 years old and feeling so alone, I started lashing out. I began drinking alcohol, smoking marijuana, and getting in trouble with the law. I was 16 the first time I got arrested. I was put on juvenile probation for accessory to arson, simple burglary, and criminal damage to property. When I turned 18, my father went to prison for 14 years for manufacturing meth. Around that time, I graduated high school and soon moved to New Orleans to pursue a music career. And I ended up partying like a rock star instead of becoming one. Not long after moving to New Orleans, I met the mother of my 2 oldest children. I continued using harder and harder drugs while trying to hide it from my children's mother, but to no avail. Because of all this mistrust, she left me and took our children. Again, I was plunged into a very dark place where I began to cope with IV use of heroin. After 2 near-fatal overdoses, I left New Orleans and moved back to Gina. Soon, I met the mother of my youngest daughter, and Harper was born. I was a heavy alcoholic and meth addict throughout the relationship and even went to jail twice over domestic abuse battery, the very thing I had always said I would never do because I grew up in that environment. For the next 10 years, I would spend my life between work and IV meth use, with most of the 10 years behind bars for possession of meth and probation and parole violations. December 17th, my mother's birthday of all days, 2019, in DeQuincy, Louisiana, while serving a 2-year sentence, the Holy Spirit fell on me, changing the course of the rest of my life. Yeah. 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 Amen. I realized with only 9 months left before I got out that I needed a plan. I asked my mother to get me into Teen Challenge, and she did. Teen Challenge accepted me with open arms, fresh out of jail, without a dime in my pocket. Through Teen Challenge, I was able to find my identity in Christ and grow in the love God has for me. Because of this love that has been given to me, I'm able to love others more fully than I could have ever imagined. The verse I stand on is John 13, 34 through 35. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove that you are my disciples. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Micah DeMorris Lee. I am 25 years old, and I am from Leesville, Louisiana. I began struggling with substance abuse early on as a teenager, not knowing that it would lead to an addiction that would last over 10 years with 10 different substances, that would result in me becoming homeless and going to jail over a dozen times. My addiction became very expensive and cost me more than just money. My addiction cost me the things that mean the most to me, my family, my friends, my health, and my career, and eventually my freedom. I didn't believe in God. I couldn't believe in what I couldn't see. I was wrong, and I was lost. Lost in a life of sin and self-destruction. I didn't care about anyone's life, not even my own. My plans and God's plans were not the same. I was quickly on my way to hell when God shook me and changed my life forever. On October 1st, 2020, the Vernon Parish Sheriff's Department Narcotics Task Force entered my home with a search warrant. There they found several assault rifles, other guns, thousands of dollars in cash, and enough drugs to take me into custody for distribution and charge me with 7 felonies. Life as I knew it was over. With a bond of $177,000 and many years in prison ahead of me, I needed a miracle. I turned my life over to God while in jail, and I began reading the Bible and praying daily. I started to see the changes within myself. It was there in jail I learned about Teen Challenge. I was accepted into the program and transferred to Louisiana Adult and Teen Challenge Lafayette in November. Since then, I have fully surrendered my life to God, and I see him working in my life daily. I'm gaining restoration in all areas that once were broken. I am freed and redeemed. I have overcome every obstacle that once seemed impossible. I'm learning God's promises and seeing them fulfilled. I have developed an unshakable confidence in God's word and have several scriptures to stand on. Before coming to Teen Challenge, I was told I'd be facing 25 years in prison over the charges that are pending against me. In 2 Kings 16 through 17, the verse says, "Oh, sir, what do we do now? Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, the hillside around him, Elisha, was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Since coming to Teen Challenge, me and my brothers that stand here in front of you today have been praying for a miracle, that I wouldn't have to go back to jail after completing the program. This has been a very extremely heavy burden for me to carry. I recently have received news from the district attorney's office in my town that they are very pleased with my progress that I am making here as a student, and that upon the completion of my internship that I probably won't even need a lawyer. I am a new creation and have a future full of prosperity and hope. I owe all the glory to God and will praise him for the rest of my days. I have true happiness, real peace, and joy like no other. The verses I stand on are Joshua 1:9, "Be strong and courageous. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." Thank you.
Saying that people don't play with them papers, but it's my turn, so that's what I get. I had to share about the student sponsorships. I had some very, very good sponsors when I went through the program. First, let me ask, did everyone receive one of these when they came in? If you didn't, will you raise your hand? I have some guys that'll make sure you get one. (Clears throat) when you look in there, it'll tell you a little bit about us, who we are. You'll see some before and after, and you'll see different ways of sponsorship. We have text to give. We also have our monthly contribution that you can also become a part of. And the thing I want to talk to you about is the student sponsorship. I had three sponsors when I was going through the program. Some of these guys who come through, we've caused our families and spouses and people who love us so much pain that you might not have someone that's going to help contribute to you while you're going through this process. So sponsor does several things. It helps support the ministry, helps continue the support that we need. They will also get updates on your progress, where you are in the program, what stage you're in, what's going through. I was able to write my sponsor, and I had little monuments during that time, and I was able to share with them what was going on. Hey, I got a letter from my kids back, talking to my wife again. One specific that I remember it is I wrote her and said, hey, she said I love you again for the first time in 2 years. And then I wrote her back 2 weeks later and I said, hey, she said it again. I think she may mean it this time. You know, there were things that happened throughout my time and through my journey that I was able to share with the sponsor, not only to just voice it to another person, but have them praying for me. We were praying for certain areas, for certain things to happen. And it was just a great relationship outside of just the monetary thing. Do we need it? Yes. We do a lot of work by our own hands. These guys go out and work. We're going to have some blueberries soon that are going to need to be picked. They're going to go out and work. And there's a lot of ways that you can help as well. We have a cafe. We actually have our manager here today with us. And we have a lot of ways that we try to do it on our own. But there are some void that we come into churches like this, and we look to you and depend on help from people outside that also can help us. So I don't want to forget anything. Oh, they can also send gifts, supplies, or letters to the students as well. And they will receive an invitation to the students' graduation. If you have never been to a Teen Challenge graduation and seen the power of people who have overcome something, it is a very powerful experience. By a show of hands, will y'all raise y'all's hand with anybody who the opioid epidemic has touched in this crowd? If we're honest, if we don't know someone, I promise you, you're probably two or three people removed from someone who is. So one of the things that we also have equipped you with what we gave you, is that pamphlet. That pamphlet on the back could mean a lifeline to someone. It has phone numbers on the back that could help someone who needs to also the help of this program. So if you will, get that in the hands of that person that you may know that needs that, because someone came to me and made this available to me at a time when I needed it. And it made a way for all of this that you see today. So thank y'all for letting us come in. We appreciate it. We're going to continue worshiping.
Praise God. Praise God. All right. My name is Max Tannehill. I'm 37 years old, and I'm from Manny, Louisiana. I was born into a family of five, me being the baby of the family. Life was relatively good growing up. My dad was a very hard-working man who had a promising career in the timber business. All of our needs were met. We even got to go on quite a few vacations. Mom was a stay-at-home mom and was the caretaker of the family. Growing up, I went to church at the Methodist Church in Manny my whole life, but I never had a spiritual connection with Jesus. Therefore, I had no foundation to stand on, nor did I have an identity in this world. When I was a kid, baseball was my first love. It was my passion. I loved the game so much that it became what was really my saving grace in my high school years and even my younger years at that. It really consumed my life until I turned about 11 years old and I tried my first sip of alcohol. It was with my older brother and his friends. I, too, idolized my older brother and looked up to him a great deal. I thought he hung the moon and I wanted to be just like him. Alcohol finally made me feel accepted by him as long as I was longing for his approval since I was a small child. After years of getting my butt whipped by him, I felt like I finally arrived with my older brother. My high school years were full of drugs and alcohol pretty heavily on weekends, but there was always baseball in the picture that gave me that peace and serenity. When I was on the field, nothing else mattered. I graduated high school as a three-sport athlete that was highlighted by a decorated baseball career. I had my sights to go play at Northwestern State University as a preferred walk-on. But the party lifestyle that I was living engulfed those dreams. This led to a full-blown addiction by the time I was 19 years old. I started attempting rehabs at the age of 24, ready for a new change in my life. Nothing changed in me because I held on to the old ideas of self. I realize now that after 8 secular attempts, that I continued to place labels on my head and let others dictate who I was as a person. I would consistently place names like alcoholic, addict, liar, cheater, thief, manipulator, and quitter on my head. I was letting those things place an identity on the person that I was living and had become. Before I knew it, I was contemplating suicide, holding 9mm, not liking the man at all that I saw in the mirror. All I could think about was my 4-year-old little boy and him growing up without a dad. I couldn't bear the thought of continuing down the path of destruction that I was living. Homeless and jobless in the city of Lafayette was a life that wasn't ideal for me to be living at all. I decided it was time for a change. The good Lord began to move on my behalf as soon as I surrendered and said I couldn't go on without him. Ephesians 2:4-5 states, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved." Since entering Teen Challenge, I began to experience his grace in many ways. I learned that all the labels that I put on myself and society placed on my head were all false. I am redeemed and washed by the blood of Jesus, and I am a child of God today. He has delivered me from the bondage of self and transformed my mind to a new outlook on life through him after a 20-year addiction that was driven by fear, resentment, failure, guilt, shame, remorse, and a lot of false pride. He has restored my heart and has presented me with the opportunity to get my son back and get full custody of him after completing Teen Challenge. Amen. Yeah. He has reconciled relationships with my family and given me a purpose in life today. Through Christ, I get to be a leader today and a father. I get to be a spiritual leader of my household, and I get to be a son today, a brother and a loyal friend to all the people that I had the pleasure of going through this life with. I fear the calling on my life is to be used by the Fellowship of Christian Athletes to help other students and young athletes across the state of Louisiana. Our God is loving and faithful and a forgiving God who wants me to be happy and content with him, and he's promised me eternity. The scripture I stand on today is Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. Yeah.
So usually we just share. I let the guys share their testimony. It's kind of been a long time since I shared mine. And I just want to be obedient today, and I feel like I need to. My name is Jeremy. I'm 41 years old. I'm from Pineville, Louisiana. I was raised in a two-parent, loving Christian home. But somewhere along the way, I just kind of strayed from the upbringing and the moral standards that my family had for me. I began using drugs and alcohol around the age of 11. I, by the age of 15, I had spent time in my first residential treatment program for teens, and thought I had a handle on it. I mean, it really got better for a few years. I went to school. I became a firefighter. I even became involved in active ministry. I was a youth pastor for several years. And thought I was living the dream. I even met my wife in ministry. And within a few years of marriage, I began slowly slipping back into my old destructive ways, kind of secretly using, until it cost me my effectiveness in ministry, my career, and eventually the love of my life. I had utterly hit rock bottom to where I found myself one night, house surrounded by police with a gun in my mouth, considering taking my own life or committing suicide by a cop. The events of that night left me in a parish jail for 9 months, and it was through there that I reached out because I remembered a ministry like this coming to my church. And since coming to Teen Challenge, God has completely just wrecked my world for a good way. I have hope and joy again. If you've never felt hopeless, it's hard to explain what that means to me today. Being completely vulnerable, I'm just going to let y'all know I had a lot going on. I really, truly believe that God was going to do something at y'all's church today because I felt the attack from Satan in a real way all day yesterday. I shared with my men this morning. My own son, who struggles with addiction, was arrested by U.S. Marshals yesterday in Houston. Some people would probably look at it like, oh, my God. But me, I was relieved because of just the climate and everything going on with the police. I was really concerned of his life, him making it out alive. So although it's not a great situation, my child's alive. I don't have to worry about him dying with a needle in his arm today, and I know where he's at. and it always makes me mad at Satan all over again and just gives me a little bit of more strength and more oomph to keep doing what we're doing because, Satan, you're not going to get my kids. You're not going to get my family. And you're not going to get my ministry. So even though I was bothered and had things going on leading into this, I said, you know what? You got to pick yourself up, and no matter what you're going on, we have to do this today. So while I was preparing those notes last night, I actually did that in the driveway of in the front seat of my car because I had to go outside to just cry. I have two younger kids, and I just didn't really want them to wonder what's going on or what's wrong with daddy. So, but as I was there, I came across something in my favorite book of the Bible, and I'd just like to share this with y'all today. It's in Job 1:6, starting there, it says, "Now there was a day when the Son of God came to present them. themselves before the Lord, and Satan coming also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, From where comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down on it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one who fear God and shunneth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord, and he said, Doth Job fear God for nothing? Hath not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side, that he has blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he had, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And I felt that in a real way last night. Because Satan can... He can gum us. He can cause us a little problem. But he can only gum us because his teeth were pulled at Calvary. You know? And it's not about what we do. It's about what he did. And it's already done. It's already done. All we had to do was step into what he already makes available for it. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful for this program, getting me reconnected with my Savior again. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful that this program, through people and organizations like you that will help us, that it can possibly be around and still able for people like my son. So thank y'all for having us.
Hey, amen. I was down at Mount Grace last year, I think it was, and had a wonderful time, but I preached a message, and it was about seeds and soil. Which is more important, the seeds or the soil? The soil is. The parable of the sower. You know, some was among thorns. But God always provides seeds to the sower. So the culture, the soil that you place those seeds in is going to determine your future, along with the seeds. But you guys, I'm telling you, you're in a program that is the most effective in the world. There's nothing that even comes close. The numbers don't lie. So you've had some good seed planted in you, some good seeds. You're going to get through this thing. You're going to come out on the other side. Things are going to be great. But what I want to warn against is putting yourself back in the original culture that got you to where you are now. That's the reason we have Generation House. And don't go back to the same place expecting you to change it, because it'll probably change you back. You have to surround yourself with people that are going to make you better, not drag you down. Just because you came through this thing, and it's like being at church camp, you know, when you're a kid, you come back and you're going to set the world on fire, and you get back and everybody's like, what's going on with them, you know? And then the enthusiasm kind of dies out. It's the same way with adults. You may go in there, I'm going to change this thing, but I promise you it will change you if you're not surrounded with good men, good women of God. They're going to keep you on track. They're going to make you accountable, and they're going to lift you up, and that's what you got to have. You got to have the culture. You got to change your culture. Your seeds, the seeds have been planted in you. You got to change your culture. Where do you go? Where do you go from here? You know, I mean, that's a question everybody asks when they come out of Teen Challenge. You know, well, I want to be an intern. Can I do another 6 months? Why? Because there's a little bit of fear of where am I going to go? What am I going to do? You know, and we've got a great support group here. But I just want to, first of all, commend you for what you're doing. Because I'm telling you, it's not easy saying, hey, I screwed up. You got to get to that before you get anywhere. You know, I ain't got any further to fall, so what the heck? I'll give it a try. I mean, I know a bunch of people in Teen Challenge, that's what they said. You know, hey, jail, Teen Challenge. I choose jail. No, you got to choose Teen Challenge. You know, and when you get there, you meet Jesus and Jesus' people. They try to make it as easy as they can, and it's not easy. Don't get me wrong, but they try to make it as easy as they possibly can to get you through this thing. But it's you that has to do it, you know. And I just want to commend all of you for what you're doing, for all that you're going to do when you leave Teen Challenge, that you're going to serve God all your life, that you're going to change generations. It's not just you that you're saving. It's your family and your friends and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Because when the man in the family gets saved, over 90% of the time, the rest of the family gets saved. So anyway, thank y'all for coming. I've got a lot of friends at Teen Challenge. Gary Bentley, good friend. Play golf together. And man, when something goes on at Teen Challenge, like when y'all had the fire, whatever, when I called Gary, what do you need? You know, I mean, we've got that type of relationship. If he needs something, he'll call me. Hey, this is what we need. Okay. A lot of the food y'all eat comes from right here. And just about all of the milk. But anyway, we love you guys. We do. And so we're going to do, hey, man, where's my bucket? Somebody go get me a bucket. Joel's getting them. But we're going to take up an offering. You know, we don't call, people say, we're going to take up a love offering. Well, I don't want your love. I want your money. I love these guys, but that still don't put any food in their bellies. So we're going to give you a money offering to show you where our heart is. And our heart is with you guys and what's going on down there. Come on. But anyway, I want to tell you this. You know what we do good? You know what we do really good here? We give. Joel, what do we do if they want to use a credit card? Put other? Yep. And if you go outside and you want to sow with your credit card, just put other and it'll go to them. So, anyway. I was reading, and everybody in this room knows this. But I want you guys to hear it. In 2 Samuel 24:24, David has taken this place and with another king. And so the other king says, hey, let's take all the spoils of war and you can make an offering to your God. And David says something, it's one of the most profound statements in the entire Bible. And it's so overlooked. David said this. He said, I'll buy it from you. Because I would never offer God something that didn't cost me. It's not about the amount. It's about the sacrifice. You know, people give us something and we re-gift it, you know? Didn't cost you anything. Didn't cost you anything. So you know what? When you re-gift somebody, you're really not giving them anything, are you? You're just giving them something you don't want. Somebody gave me something I don't want, so I'm going to give it to somebody else. That's not an offering. That's not what it is. You've got to have a burning desire to see something, a work that you want to sow into and cost you something. Because I promise you, it's everything to that organization. everything. So let's stand our feet and we'll take up an offering. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you so much. Pastor, what's your son's name? Jalen? Father, I come to you right now. Father, I just put angels in his path. Father, we lift up Jalen to you right now, Father, that his eyes were opened yesterday, that he needs help. And Father, every person he runs into is going to be telling him about Jesus, Father. Wherever he goes, whatever he does, he can't run from it. There's no corner of this earth that he can run any further from you. Father, I thank you so much. Put your hands upon him and upon this program. Father, we speak an anointing, Father, that chains are broken every single day at every single center in the state of Louisiana. Father, we just thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Bring your offering.